The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
And we have an interview this afternoon, and I must say, I know you were supposed to have the interview before, but we are just going to have it now. I want to say thank you going out to Miss Adriana Sandrine Rattan, the president of the International Women's Resource Network, and we're going to be joined by her today. We're going to be having a discussion on a man's reaction to rejection, true crime, and more. So, welcome, Mrs. Rattan. Welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM.
Yes, Carrie, my dear. Feel free to call me Sandrine.
Oh, okay.
Happy to be here. Good afternoon to Trinidad and Tobago and our beautiful listeners on the World Wide Web. Yes, so I'm here.
Thanks so much for joining us today, Sandrine. I love your name, actually. I love it. So let's dive straight into it. So I know there was an article about the International Women's Resource Network. You know, you called for action with regards to the 26 women that were killed so far this year. And let me just say, it is alarming. And I think there needs, it had some kind of intervention. Yeah?
Yes, Carrie, and let me correct you. We have 27 women killed so far.
27.
So that's it. That's the figure, because we had a victim in Cuba recently who was shot by her, allegedly shot by a male relative.
Mm-hmm.
So let me preface our conversation by saying that our position, the IWRN's position right now, is that there should be some kind of intervention for men.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of noise making and knee-jerking responses.
Recording in progress.
But I think we need to kind of shift the conversation to help our men.
Right.
To deal with rejection, to deal with emotional challenges and so. So I think the first step to that, and women can't help men. Men should be loving us and we love them. Mm-hmm. But in terms of help, we need male role models. We have a few that I can call. Pastor Clive Dutton, he's an excellent role model. We have Rondell Fields, who is head of Single Fathers Association, but they are just two men doing a lot of work.
Right.
We need more than that to come forward to help our men.
Mm. Well,
so the first thing we would like men to do, and I'm talking to men in general here, remove that ownership tag on a woman. If you are in a relationship with a woman, You do not own that woman. Be pleased, be happy to have that relationship.
Mm.
And so, but ownership tag, having that ownership mindset, is where a lot of men go wrong in terms of responding in anger when things do not go the way they would like it to go.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing that we would like to share in terms of revisiting the mindset of men, as I say, women can't help men. We could just suggest based on information that come to us,
right,
and the male clients we have in our system.
Mm-hmm.
The other situation we have, Carrie, which is very prevalent, is that we have a lot of men in their late 30s and their late 40s who have expressed to us that they were either physically abused or sexually abused by persons known to them in their childhood. And they hid it and never got healed.
Mm-hmm.
Now they are into manhood. And the thing about it is they would only know abuse. They do not know how to love. They do not know how to walk away and all of that. And it's something we want to inject into the minds of parents, that you need to pay just as much as attention to your boy children, your sons, mm-hmm, just as much as you do to your daughters, because they need counseling, they need nurturing, they need loving, and they need to be spoken to in a way that they understand life, but also in a way that they understand how to deal with a relationship from very early.
Yes.
Because you have little boys in primary schools and secondary schools who would be attracted to girls.
Mm-hmm.
So help them through that, and it's really a question of nurturing and helping.
Now, Sandrina, I wanted to add, usually on Tuesdays, we have a very important program called Mental. We have a special guest. She's a psychologist, especially when dealing with men. And one of the things that she always says every Tuesdays, and I agree with her 100%, that we as women, we need to love our men. And sometimes, I'm not saying this is all the time, but sometimes, you know, we women are, you know, we kind of hasty when we're ready. And when things don't usually go our way, we act a particular way now. So you mentioned that, you know, especially when it comes to the boys, when we as women, we as mothers are growing them up, we need to show them that type of love, right? And that is something that we usually speak about on Tuesdays. But let's get back into it. Why do you think that some men react so violently to being rejected by a partner or even love interest?
Because, Kyrie, they were not taught how to deal with their emotional challenges, and that is real, because we also work with men, and our organization is international.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, our therapist, I would have liked to have her on the program. She's based in Florida, but she had some very important meetings this morning, because she's the one who really works confidentially with our both male and female clients.
Right.
Yeah, so why do they respond angrily? It's because that is what they know.
Right.
That is what they know. We had a situation, it was on social media, and I could send it to you guys, where this gentleman, he had endured, I think it's as much as 5 years of abuse from his wife, and he left her a note saying it's time for him to leave, and he walked away.
Right.
I mean, I posted it on my page saying that this, you know, this gentleman was definitely brought up well, understanding that it's okay to walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, Carrie, in life, as well as in relationships, tomorrow is not promised. So
Correct. Yeah. There
is no need. It is not, how I should say, it is not correct to hold on to something with some element of permanence. You have to leave some kind of percentage room for disappointment. And that is what men do not do.
Hmm.
You have to leave some room for disappointment, because tomorrow is not promised. People get up on different sides. Different things happen which are known to you as the other party in the relationship. And we need to kind of shift our mindsets in a broader way to understand that, you know, life happens.
Yeah, yeah. But is rejection really the issue here? Or is it just like a wounded ego and a need for control? Is it like something like that?
It's a number of issues, Carrie, but more than that. No, rejection has different meanings to different people. If a woman gets up today and decides she doesn't want a man, her partner, tomorrow, he feels rejected.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because perhaps, you know, and we do a lot of relationship counseling.
Right.
In relationships, conversations are not open. There are challenges in the relationship that remain hidden for years. And instead of having a conversation, two parties having a conversation, open conversation, whether it's sex or whatever about it,
mm-hmm.
cheat and do other things and respond in a way that is not pleasing to one another. So that is an issue. So to deal with that particular point, Gary, parties in relationships need to start talking.
Communication is a big thing.
Communication is lacking, and that is one of the reasons why men feel rejected. Because if a man is not told about a particular shortcoming,
mm-hmm.
or a particular issue that is disliked by his partner,
right.
and then suddenly you react in a particular way, of course he will feel rejected, and he will feel lost, and so on. And that is why the response is sometimes fatal.
Right.
And to mitigate that, conversations need to start happening. Parties need to be true to each other, and that will sort of mitigate and help heal in relationships.
Right. Now, in many of these cases of violence and in bigger cases, in death, right, usually it has had some red flags before. What should families or friends or even victims themselves look out for, especially, like, let's say, for instance, me and the boys, we playing, right? We're playing some basketball, we're playing some football, because you know when men get together, you know, they had that conversation, right? So talking to a male friend, talking to a buddy, talking to a guy, and you notice a red flag, you notice something a little off, that he kind of want to go off edge. What are some of these signs that persons can look for so that they would know, or they would have an idea to say, hey, listen, let me talk to Chris, let me talk to John to find out what is going on and how you could help. What are some of these signs?
So if men are bonding in a space and they notice something that John is doing, perhaps John is only texting his partner, John is only calling his partner, John only wants to do video calls, he only wants to do FaceTime, something is wrong with that. That to me, and based on the work that we do carry, that is a sign of narcissism, and is also a sign of that same ownership that we're trying to remove from the minds of men. There's no need to be texting every minute and calling and to find out where you are, and you know, the whole question of FaceTiming and video calling is to get proof, proof of location, and that to me is unfortunate and is unnecessary.
Right.
So that signals a lack of trust, and that is something in a relationship that is going to explode into something bigger, and it also encourages or influences wrongful blaming. You see your wife on the phone, you're blaming her. You see her talking to a male coworker, you're blaming her wrongfully and accusing her wrongfully.
Yeah.
So that is something that needs to be worked on, and that is also a sign of insecurity.
Right. And that is something that we as women and even men look out for. Yeah?
Correct. And a lot of people go into relationships understanding and knowing those flags are there. Hope change. You cannot change. We as human beings, unless you are trained, or like how we are trained and we do, you know, psychosocial work, you cannot go into a relationship hoping to change anyone.
Nice.
No. It must come from within. It shouldn't take coming from within. It must also be helped by a professional who can help you with the change. So yeah, and there are other red flags too. I guess we won't have time to talk all about.
Yeah, but true. Now, yeah. I've got some messages coming in, and some from men. Let me just read it out for you. Carrie V, good afternoon to you. Good afternoon to you. Guess why are women so revengeful and women feel so entitled? Men who act violently give headlines and the wrong statistics. Women can't take rejection. They are worse than men. What do you think about that statement made by someone?
It differs, but based on the work that we do and based on our statistics, a woman can handle rejection.
Yep, way better than a man. Yeah,
women can handle rejection in a much more stable manner, I would say, than a man. And it's all about how they were socialized. It's all about how they were brought up, and so, I mean, my son is a young man, and from young, his father and I, we taught him how to deal with life, how to deal with relationships, so that if anything happens in a relationship, he can deal with it in a very forthright and open way, right? So, but as I say, that kind of mindset has to come from early,
right?
And some parents just don't do the work, and we keep telling parents, if you are not able to do it, reach out to us. There are other organizations. Reach out to Families in Action. Reach out to get help. Because if you allow things to go as you think they should be, you're going to end up, you will have some fatalities. I mean, look at that situation where, and I have to talk about it, with Candace Honoré, how she was murdered in the most
gruesome and horrible way. Yeah.
Every time I talk about it, I break down in tears, because for a young 27-year-old to actually murder a woman, and then not only that, you proceeded to dismember her body and put it in a suitcase, that to me is a lot. And I would really like to have a conversation with his parents to find out what went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is something that we would like to do, to have a conversation with his parents, because we really would like to avoid something like that happening.
From happening again.
Now, you look at him, when you look at a gentleman, this alleged murderer, you wouldn't think that because people judge by looks, but sometimes within, there's a lot of anger and a lot of noise taking place within the body that we are not aware of.
Yeah.
And a lot of men and women are also ashamed to share.
Mm-hmm.
You can get help is if you share it in the right space.
Correct. Now, the International Women's Network, Resource Network, right? Am I correct?
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. What are your purpose? What do you do? How do you reach out?
So we have an active Facebook page. We also have our number. It's 1-866-795-7931. Reach out to us. Our primary purpose is dealing with victims of domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
So last year and a half, we have been able to relocate 3 domestic violence victims out of the country.
Mm-hmm.
So we focus a lot on supporting and helping women. We deal with poverty, we deal with child abuse, sex abuse, and so of sexual abuse of minors, and we also help men. But as I say, to help men, we need male mentors. We need strong male mentors to help all men.
Mm.
We love men, and we would like to help them. And the only way the country could do better is if we help each other.
Nice. And what are some of the immediate actions you believe the government must take, or even us as the citizenry, the immediate action we must take to prevent further killings of women right here in the country? What do you think that could be done? The immediate actions.
So at the top of it, and I said it in an interview with CNC3 recently,
mm-hmm.
at the top of that wish list is to find a way to help our men. We have our male mentors. How I see the state intervening there is to, you know, incentivize that wish in terms of, you know, maybe forming a committee. I would like to see Pastor Clive Dutton on that committee. I would like to see Mr. Rondell Fields on that committee. A committee to, you know, to identify strategies to help all men.
Right.
But it must be done in a confidential way, and it must be done in a way that all men would feel comforted to speak.
Mm.
Because women, but more so men, we have to understand it's 2 different genders, mm-hmm. and men is a stronger gender. And if a man doesn't feel comfortable to speak about his issues, he would not speak. Mm. So the role of that committee really would be to create a safe space for men, or safe spaces for men.
Mm-hmm.
We could work in communities. We have a lot of community role models as well. But I'm just talking about the 2 main mentors that, you know, we have connected with, or we connect with to help. So mm-hmm. that, and then in terms of the women,
mm-hmm.
we had prepared and submitted proposals to the previous administration dealing with protection orders. Protection orders in its current form, we have said it carry more than 5 years. Protection orders in their current form do not work.
Yeah.
It's just paper. And what protection orders do is just encourage the perpetrator to commit the crime.
Yeah. I was coming to that question. Our current laws, it's not strong enough to protect women, because we've been hearing, not only from you, but we have been hearing even from women themselves. But what changes should be made? So let's talk about the protection orders. Because when you take out the protection order, and you know the man gets served with it, you know that is kind of a hornet's nest? That what it's called?
Yeah.
So what changes can be made? What laws or procedures should be put in place so that, you know, women would feel a sense of security instead of just having a paper in your hand?
So Carrie, one of the things we have suggested is that a protection order should really act as, you know, what it states it is, as a protection order. So we need to amend protection orders so that when it is dispensed to the victim, there would be no kind of contact, no kind of connection between the perpetrator and the victim. In its present dispensation,
mm-hmm.
once the protection orders are dispensed to the victims, the perpetrators still have connection. They will go to their workplace. We could spend hours talking about victims who were killed in their workplace because the perpetrators were served with protection orders. So we need, when a protection order is dispensed to victims, that victim must be removed from the space and sent in a space where she's really, she or he, because remember we also have domestic violence victims who are males as well. We have a couple of them.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to make sure that they are protected and the location is not known. And so that is one of the things that protection orders in its current dispensation, they do.
Yes.
So that is what I'd like to see. We need to create a safe space for victims once a protection order is dispensed. I mean, it must be truly safe.
Nice. So, Sandrine, can you give us 1 minute? We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation because we have news coming up at the top, all right? Carrie V is here, and we are in an interview with the president of the International Women's Resource Network. I'm here with Sandrine. Welcome back, Sandrine. Let's continue our conversation.
Thank you, Carrie.
Yes. Now, you think that there should be mandatory intervention programs for men with history of domestic violence? What do you think about that?
Yes, of course, of course. And as I said, and I want to say, men, we love you guys dearly, and we really want to help you guys to be, you know, to become better, you know, better in terms of dealing with the relationships. And men, a lot of the things that are happening is not their fault, it's the way they were brought up, and this is why it's so important. But in terms of mandatory interventions, again, Carrie, I want the earlier point I made, or the earlier suggestion rather, where it should set up some kind of committee.
Right.
A committee. It could be headed by Rondell Fees and Pastor Clive Dutton. Maybe there are others who can be part of it. And maybe one of the government ministers as well could chair a committee. But we need to stop talking and we need to start acting.
Yeah. But this committee, what would you expect this committee to do?
I would expect this committee to come up with at least five. Action points. Five action points. Of course, under each action point, you will have subheads in terms of how we treat with men. So the intervention will start by us understanding how men feel, understanding that we're dealing with two genders, we're dealing with female, we're dealing with males, we cannot treat them both the same.
Yeah.
We have to deal with, when we're dealing with men, we have to deal with their egos, we have to deal with their pride and that kind of thing. So we need to first, I would like to be part of that committee too.
Nice.
So, because I say we really want to help all men, but what we are getting in society right now is, so for example, I put up a post talking about that. Well, I think I responded to an incident on one of the news feeds saying that we should help our men. And you know, two commentators responded and saying, they responded by saying, no, they don't need help, lock them up. So you see,
the men to lock up the men.
Yeah, that kind of negative energy, we need to deal with it in a very dispassionate manner. And as I said, that committee, the actions coming from that committee, Carrie, would only be workable if the men out there are certain that their information will remain confidential, because we do not want, and I want to talk about a little bit more about that, not want our men to be scoffed at. We do not want our men to be laughed at when they come with their issues.
Yeah.
Because they have issues, and it's because of the ridiculing, and we're not willing to listen to them, why they respond the way they respond. Sometimes a man doesn't talk and say what's going on, but his actions may speak louder than words.
Yeah.
He's asking for help without saying he needs help.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that kind of IQ and that kind of acumen we need if this kind of committee would work.
Wouldn't that be to change the culture of the citizenry? Because whilst we might sit here and we'll talk about it and it sounds good and this is what we want, when we go out there, in reality, if a man goes to the police station, let's just say, for instance, he goes to the police station to make a domestic violence report, meaning that his wife is hitting him or something like that, they laugh at them in some cases. I'm not saying all cases, but they laugh at them and they ridicule it. So wouldn't that be like a whole cultural change, Sandrine? Wouldn't it be?
Yes, we need a whole change of mindset. We have to stop knee-jerking. We need to stop having knee-jerking responses when a man kills a woman.
Mm. And how would we be able to start that process of changing our mindset? Because mindset is not just to be up one day And then it just changed, you know. It's something that have to be happening over a period of time. Yeah?
It's a lot of work. Mm-hmm. As I said, we have clients. We have there on the men now. We have three of them.
Mm-hmm.
That men now are on the men in terms of healing, who were sexually abused by close male relatives for as long as 10 years, and they said nothing.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is 35, one is 42, and one is 50. So they kept that hurt. So, but I'm saying, because they said to me, they said, we didn't say anything because we were afraid of being laughed at. So we just continued with, we just accepted the negative action towards them in terms of the sexual abuse.
Yeah.
So it's a change of mindset, because I keep telling people, when you laugh at someone today, tomorrow may be your turn. So people, we have to be careful. We have to treat each other with love. And our mantra is, if you cannot help, don't hurt.
Mm, correct. I love that. No, you see how... Mm-hmm, go ahead.
Sorry, so much.
That's okay.
Come back to that point you made, and I'm glad you raised it, because I was going there as well, where men would go to the police station. We have two victims who went to, I'm not going to call any name of the police station,
mm-hmm.
to face reports because their wife, one of them, the wife was cheating and was allowing the cheater to insult the husband.
Right.
The husband is soft and so a gentleman.
Mm-hmm,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Pride and whatnot. And then we encouraged him to make a report. When he went to the police station to make a report, the police told him to go and love up your wife and have sex with her. That is not the kind of response we want. We want intervention that would help that victim.
Mm. But what type of training should these police officers get in order to deal with these things efficiently? Because let me just say, for instance, the police officers may not, and I'm just saying I'm using that word big, may not know how to deal with something like that. So in a reaction, they will just respond accordingly.
Let me just shout out to the TTPS. The TTPS has been extremely good to us,
mm-hmm.
our team, in terms of responding to reports. Yes, we have some officers who may not, as I say, may not know. They say, Mr. Andrew, well, we don't know, and they honestly don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So something, training in terms of, and not only, domestic violence, but also...
Sandrine, give me a minute. So we have to go to the news, and when we come back from the news, we'll continue the discussion, all right?
Okay.
All right. Thanks so much. Okay. So stay on the line for me. We are online with the president of the International Women's Resource Network, Miss Sandrine. Hello. Are you hearing us?
Yes.
Welcome back, Miss Sandrine. So I know we were having a conversation, and I was asking you what types of training do you think that the police officers should receive in order to effectively deal with situations like this?
So the first goal in terms of training, at least the most important training that they should receive, is to deal with emotional intelligence. Emotional intelligence is critical in terms of understanding and responding appropriately to relationship issues. That's the first thing. So I would start there, because emotional intelligence has different legs to it.
Yeah.
So that would be a good start in terms of helping the police officers. They do their best,
mm-hmm.
but I know they will do better, because they respond well. You know, once we call them, they respond well.
Generally, yeah.
Yeah, they do. And I want to give a big shout out to our new commissioner of police.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much on the ball in terms of the kinds of issues that we need to be treating with.
Yeah. Now, what kind of public awareness campaign do you think would make a real impact in shifting cultural attitudes towards violence against women?
So let's start in the communities. As I say, we have a lot of community role models. Every community, we have role models. Even if we have at least one, and we did our research, in every community in our beautiful country, we have at least carry one role model, at least two,
mm-hmm.
in our communities, who can assist in terms of what you're alluding to. We have community centers. Let us utilize community centers. mobilize our people, mobilize the men. Not only the men, we want the women to be there as well, but we need to have a good mobilization strategy to encourage them to come and, you know, be part of that change, the kind of change management. But it's best to start at the community level.
Nice. Now, how can the media be a part of the solution rather than simply reporting on the violence after it happens? Because we see it. We see it. But I know the media can have a positive impact on it. So what do you think, or how do you think that the media could be a part of the solution?
So in terms of the media, and I mean, I must say kudos to you guys. Let me also shout out my team at CNC3 as well. Mm-hmm. Always responding to the call. So in terms of the media, so in the state committee that I talked about, it would be great to have at least a media presence on that committee. And in terms of the community level, we can also have the presence of the media being part of the, not reporting, but also being part of the deep conversation and maybe contributing from your perspective in terms of what can be done to lift us up out of doom and gloom.
Nice. Now, I have two more questions because we've got to wrap up soon. Do you believe that there should be a national task force or even an emergency response unit focused solely on the gender-based violence? Do you think so? What do you think?
Well, I know the TTPS... There's a unit.
The gender-based violence unit, right.
Yes, and when former Commissioner Gary Griffith was there, he was very much on the ground in terms of supporting us. I mean, we would go there and we would have meetings with him and his team when it comes to domestic violence. So that unit, I think, needs to be maybe pushed some more, and I think our new Commissioner of Police will do, because he alluded to making some important changes. So I think that's a good place to start.
Right, nice. And what message do you have for women who are currently afraid and living in violent or threatening situations? What should they do?
First you need to make a report to the police. When that report is made, I'm pleading and begging the officers to take it seriously, even if it means going to the space, even if it means laying charges, investigating and laying charges. We need to make that happen. But you see, at the end of the day, we have had instances where that was done, and then a couple days or a couple weeks later, the victim is murdered. And I'm not going to call names on that, but I know victims who did that. The police investigated, made the arrest of the perpetrator. Of course, bail was granted because that's the law, and the law needs to carry. I mean, we cannot fault the police and everything, because the law itself, the laws, our judicial system, that needs to be revamped and needs to be changed to suit our current dispensation based on the type of crimes that we are having. So this is what we would recommend. And also reach out to us, the International Women's Resource Network. What we do sometimes, reports are made to the police on the victim's behalf.
Right.
But the victim also be willing to support us in that regard as well. And once the report comes to us, reach out to us on our Facebook page, give us a call. Once the report comes to us, we will do our best to see, the best intervention that can be made for that particular case.
Right. All right. And last but not least, what's your biggest fear if urgent action is not taken now? And what gives you hope that change is possible?
My biggest fear is another woman getting killed. Because we are dealing with two cases right now where, you know, we had to evacuate those two victims. And that is my fear. Some victims are willing to be, to remove from the space. Some are fearful. I mean, there is one victim in South Trinidad. She reported the situation to us. When we intervened, she called me. She said, "Miss Sanyo, do I have more to age?" She said, "I'd rather die in this situation. I don't want police involved. I'd rather stay and die." So we have that, and that is fearful. Yeah, so that's my biggest fear. Hmm. And in terms of hope, I'm hoping that some of the government is listening to me, some minister or somebody is listening to this interview and will really give us a helping hand in terms of establishing that task force, as we called it.
Yeah.
To start helping our men.
Hmm.
Because it can be, we have to stop blame shifting and start being real about the issues that need to be addressed.
Right, right. All right, Ms. Sandrine, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. And it was an insightful discussion. And where can we reach out again? Give us the social media handles. Give us the numbers where women or even men can reach out to you.
So International Women's Resource Network, once we get a message on our page, we will respond. And also 1-868-795-9531. That's our WhatsApp number.
Mm, nice. So go check them out on Facebook and Instagram. The International Women's Resource Network. Ms. Sandrine, I want to thank you for joining us today, and I hope you have a fantastic day. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much, Carrie, and love you, Trinidad and Tobago.
Yes, thanks so much.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.